Thank you very much. Mary, I thank you very much for that beautiful hymn. You know, you bring tears to my eyes. I'll tell you why it brings tears to my eyes, because I've always thought of your voice, and you know, I'm always very impressed when these dear sisters come up in front and sing these beautiful songs for us. I appreciate it very much, the dear sisters, this morning, and now Sister Mary. I've known Mary a long time, and I've heard her sing many times. But I'm also thinking of another very dear sister who left us recently, and that's Hazel Jones. They have the same name, but as near as I know, we're not related. Stephen and I are not related that I know about. They sound like birds. And I told Hazel that many times, and I've told Mary that. Just like birds. And you know, Brother and Sister Montague will verify this, because they stayed with us this summer. We traveled a little bit this summer together. And they stayed at our home while we had a visitor in our home. We put up a birdhouse a year or two ago. And we had a gentleman wren take up residence there. Now, the object of the gentleman wren taking up residence is that he prepares a home for a lady wren that might be in the neighborhood. And as the story goes, this little wren sang his heart out to us day and night for a couple of months before a lady wren arrived. And that's when the Montagues were there, when the lady wren had arrived. And I should tell you, brother and sister, that they raised their family and they left us. Now, I don't know where they went. But obviously, they are going to go somewhere south, because they don't think they want to stay up there in the wintertime. But if you see any little wrens flying around, why? This part of our assignment deals with family relationships. Now, this is very personal. Very, very personal. And what we will say today really will be personal or practical applications of scriptures involving families, mothers, fathers, children, brothers, sisters, the whole family arrangement. Now, this is just an observation. As you know, Sister Joan and I, we don't have any children. We lost a child about 35 years ago. But so we don't have any. Oddly enough, of the four brethren who are speaking here today, I'm the only one that doesn't have any children. And the old saying goes, if you want to have advice as to how to raise children, well, ask somebody who doesn't have any. So, so here we go. Now, this text taken from John 15:8, and I appreciate this passage very, very much. It was used at the New York Convention at Labor Day. And this is a very wonderful passage of Scripture. But the context is even more wonderful, because it broadens our appreciation of the relationship that we have with our Lord and the Heavenly Father. First of all, that's the relationship that's established even as we open this chapter 15. God is the caretaker. He's the one that does the pruning and the disciplining. Our Lord is the vine. And, of course, we are the branches. And this is brought out for us in this chapter 15 of John. And then, of course, the admonition that John gives us here is that we bear much fruit. And those who abide in our Lord and bear much fruit are a glory to God. And you know, I kind of wonder just exactly how we can be of any glory to God, but here God is able to take sinful mankind, all of us who have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity, born in this sinful world, carry all the baggage of our predecessors, And yet, through the working of the Holy Spirit, He is able to work in us and to help us to grow in grace and in knowledge of His most wonderful plan. Well, He's our Father. Our Lord Jesus is our elder brother. And how we love our Father and our elder brother. And as we develop this relationship with our Father and our elder brother, as this, we won't read this passage, but we'll talk about it, John 15. As we develop this relationship and to abide in Him more and more, we are given special privileges. Did you notice the verse just before the one that involves the fruitage in verse 8? If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. But what a wonderful reality this is as we develop this relationship with our Heavenly Father and our Lord and our elder brother, our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful privilege that we can ask anything we want in connection with our growth as new creatures in Christ Jesus, anything we want. And He promises that He will give it to us just because we abide in this relationship with the vine and the caretaker. And then, of course, the text that is under consideration, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Well, whoever selected this passage did a marvelous job. I really appreciate this entire passage and its connections with the vine and the branches and beautiful applications of Scripture. This is only part of our Lord Jesus' final discourse to His disciples. These chapters in John, chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, really are our Lord's final message to His disciples. And as we think about that, that we know that He was going to die shortly, and yet He left this wonderful message for us to consider, and the relationship that goes along with it, how much we really appreciate this opportunity. There are really two families, as I see it. Our earthly family and our spiritual. Now here we have a spiritual family, but it's also made up of little groups of earthly families, like we see, for example, the Montague family. And I know you have a son as well. And you know, I find that wonderful, that you have children who are also consecrated, and we love to see you all together. I only use that as one example. The other brethren who are sponsoring the convention, the same thing, that there are lots of family arrangements here, relationships, but there is the more beautiful spiritual family that we appreciate. And as we consider the relationships and how we fit into this plan of God, we like to ask ourselves just what it is that we are asked to do. Well, we have an answer to that in Galatians, the fifth chapter. Now, you know these scriptures very well because these are the fruits of the Spirit. And we have nine of them. A rather odd number. We'll get to that in just a moment. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Now, these are the things that we are admonished by John 15, 8, our text, to consider. And these are the things that we want to show to our families. We want them to grow in grace and knowledge too, not just ourselves. This is for all of our families. And as I see it, it's not only our earthly family, but our spiritual family. We love each other. And we also, of course, love our earthly families. But notice what our text tells us here in Galatians 5 and 22. The fruit of the Spirit This is what John was talking about. His first love, and then joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance. This is what the Apostle Paul was telling these Galatian brethren. And we appreciate this because of the nature of being more Christ-like in our dealing with our family, whether it is spiritual or earthly. But there are only 9. And I thought about that a bit. So I began doing a little searching. Now, I'm going to add 3 more to that to make it an even 12. Now, perhaps some of you may have others that you could add to make any number you want. But in Romans 6:22, we can add holiness as the fruit of the Spirit. In James 3:18, we can add righteousness. And in Hebrews 13:15, we can add thanksgiving. So that would make 12. Now, these are the things that we are admonished by the Spirit of God to develop in us, and that we might implant this in our family and our relationship with our husbands or wives or brothers or sisters or children, as the occasion is. Now, in this fifth chapter of Galatians, we find also the opposite spirit that we're admonished not to do. And it's in the same context as the passage that we just read, the things that we are supposed to do. Now, this is what we're not supposed to do. It begins with verse 17. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. And then it even continues after that. And these are the things that are of the world, the spirit of the world. These are the things that we should overcome as we become more Christ-like. Envyings and murders and drunkenness and revelings and other things as well. These are the things that we are not supposed to do. And we keep in mind the things that we are supposed to do, because those are the things that will help us to grow in grace and in knowledge of the wonderful plan and purpose of God. In another sense, the apostle also writes to the brethren, the Colossian brethren, in the third chapter, and verses 12 and 13. And these are things that we are admonished to put on. That is of the elect of God. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And these are wonderful admonitions from the Spirit of God that we might grow in grace and in knowledge. And Peter also gives us admonitions in 2 Peter in chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7. I believe a brother touched on this morning, but we will put the emphasis here in connection with this family relationships and how we grow and develop for the purpose of staying together as we walk in newness of life. But here we find, beginning with verse 5, faith is the fundamental characteristic that we are admonished to add to. The brother brought this out this morning. But we add to faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly love, and kindness and charity or love. These are the things that we see are a blessing and an honor to the Heavenly Father. But we have a responsibility, those who have families and who are raising families in this very troubled time today, must stay very close to the Lord and to each other. And I appreciated very much the fact that there was a CO meeting right after lunch, and I attended. Even though we're Canadian, we thought that we might learn something in connection with our responsibilities to the young people. We love our young people, and I hope that there are some that are here that will appreciate and realize the whole group here has your best interests at heart. All of you young people, especially as we see the necessity for bringing up the draft, for example, in the near future, perhaps in America, and the responsibility that we have to help them and to guide them and to direct them. And this is part of our family. It's part of our spiritual family, whether we even know these young people or not. So then in every act, in every word, in every thought that we have, we show forth this responsibility toward our young people. And we understand this, and we appreciate it. And as we consider these things, we desire that we might help one another to grow in grace and knowledge of God and His wonderful purpose. In Ephesians 5 and 22, we will now shift the responsibility to practical applications of the scriptures. And as we said, the emphasis on this discussion, family relationships, really is a very personal matter. And so we've selected scriptures that deal with the personal responsibilities that we have. And especially as the Lord's people, we need to consider these things well and the admonitions of the apostle in this connection. Now, beginning with verse 22, Ephesians 5, 22. And this is in connection with the wives and responsibility. And this is no less than the Apostle Paul giving us this admonition and direction as to how the wives can best please the Heavenly Father. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands, even as unto the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even as the Christ is the head of the church. And that's the picture. This is a real picture, isn't it? The husband and wife really a picture of our Lord Jesus and His bride. And this is brought out in this passage. And we can see fundamentally within this context, this application of these scriptures in connection with that. And the same thing with the husbands. Verse 25. Husbands must love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. So there it is again. This is the relationship that we're talking about. And even as we began the study in John 15, there was the relationship, even as we open the vine and the branches. And, of course, the caretaker, the Heavenly Father. Here we see the apostle directing us more directly to us in a practical application as to what it is, how we are supposed to conduct ourselves. Well, what are we supposed to do? And especially, again, as the Lord's people in troublous times, these are the things that we must do, is to follow the admonition of Paul as he gives it to us here. Verse 26, that ye might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that ye might present it himself as a glorious church. So there it is again, the suggestion and the picture within this picture of the real or the greater or the grand bride and bridegroom in the kingdom arrangement. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And this is how we are admonished to conduct ourselves in a responsible way and a practical application of the scriptures in connection with everyday life. And these are personal, but this is how we are supposed to conduct ourselves in an everyday manner. Men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Again, the emphasis on the grander application of this in connection with our Lord and His bride. And this is really what we are striving to become as part of the bride class of the heavenly, of our Lord Jesus, in the heavenly arrangements that have been given to us. And we are members of His body, and this is brought to our attention, especially in verse 32. I'm still in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 32. This is the great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. So there it is again. So even as the apostle gives us the admonitions as to how we are to conduct ourselves on a daily basis, within this, we are also striving to be a part of the grander picture that the apostle is giving to these brethren in Ephesus. And in chapter 6 of Ephesians, the apostle directs the attention to the children. And he gives practical advice in connection with children and how we are to conduct ourselves in connection with the development of our children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. These are things that we want to develop in our children, our families. And I might just pause for a moment here. Joan and I never had children of our own, but we have had foster children. Some of you might be surprised to learn that we have 6 foster daughters. Now, we don't see them very often. We hear from them occasionally. Now, some of these, and they were all girls, when these children would come to us, they would be in a terrible state. Now, we had one young girl, very small. I think she was 8 or 9 years old when she came to us. Her mother had been a drunkard, and she was born premature and very small for her age. She had never been to a real school of any kind. She had been sexually abused by her uncle. And she had been a witness to her uncle murdering another man, either just outside the home or on the property. Now, we received this girl, and she was very difficult to deal with. She couldn't read or hardly a thing. But we spent time and attention with her, and we tried to do those things that would help her grow as a person and to teach her fundamental things. And when we brought her into our home, we used to have meetings in our home on a rotating basis. Sometimes it'd be at our home, sometimes another home. But she made it very clear to us when she came to us. She said, "I'm a Catholic." And this reminds me of Brother Bob's discussion here in the last hour. She made it very clear that she knew we were Bible students. She said, "I don't want anything to do with your religion." Well, okay, we'll take it one step at a time. Now, she hadn't been with us, well, maybe 3 or 4 weeks. And we were preparing to open our meeting. And we had a piano in our living room there. And she would always go into her room because she didn't want to come to be any part of that meeting. And I just sat down to play the opening hymn. And she peeked her head around the corner and she says, what hymn was it she asked for? I just can't remember exactly what hymn she asked for. She asked us if we would play that hymn to open our study with. So it shows that she was kind of getting the idea. Well, after a while, she came on a regular basis to our meetings, and we had her in our studies, and we taught her the best way we could. We have heard from her since then. She's a grown lady now with children of her own. She's probably 30 some odd years old now. I just give that as an illustration and the privilege that we had, even though we don't have children of our own, that we've had a little taste of parenthood. And then another girl that we had her off and on for 4 or 5 years. And again, she was a very abused girl. No schooling. These were Métis girls. Now, I don't know if Americans know what a Métis is. A Métis person, and we have a lot of those in Manitoba and Saskatchewan, too. Their parentage is half Indian and half white. Now, we call them Métis. They might be half Indian and half Scottish or French or something else. So usually either Scottish or French in Canada. And these people would come to us with practically no education at all. And this girl, I really loved this little girl. And when they finally took her from us, we really cried. And on Sunday mornings, we would sit down, I would sit down with her and try to teach her to read. She didn't even know how to read. Now, she was a girl probably 8 years old. But we had a very nice relationship with her. And I appreciate very much the opportunity to help her and to develop her. And we have heard from her quite recently. I think she has 3 children of her own now. She lives in Winnipeg. She did live way up in the far north of Manitoba, up in the tundra area. After she left us, we didn't hear from her for a long time. But she phones and she wants us to know that she's still there. And another girl that we had, we haven't heard from her in 2 or 3 years, but every once in a while we get a call from her and she would say, "Well, I just want you to know that I know you're there." Well, it touches our heart because these children need an awful lot of help. And, of course, in our own spiritual family here in this convention and other brethren, of course, involved with this truth that we have, but we want to help our young people grow. This is why I really appreciate that CO meeting today. We want to help these people. We want to do all that we can. We should instill in them, and we try to do that, is to instill in them a standard of behavior. If there are bad words, we would just cut it right off quick. That's just not acceptable, not in this home. And they soon got the message because they never heard any bad words from us. So this is instilling a standard of behavior. And if we're faithful and have the privilege of sharing and uplifting the moral of mankind in the kingdom, that will be the family. If we're part of the church class to raise up the world of mankind, the whole world will be the family of the church. That will be our family. And I love the prospect that if we can be faithful to share and instilling in the world of mankind the standards of truth and righteousness, to teach them the fundamental truths, the ground rules of conduct, shall we say. The world needs that so badly. The ground rules. Stability, trust, respect, positiveness, reverence. These are all ground rules. Now, in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and beginning with that chapter, it gives us a little perspective on just the seriousness of the world in which we live. And I can see that this passage of Scripture really has a lot to do with the CO meeting that we had today. Brethren, as the Apostle is telling us here, as Timothy is telling us here, we are living in perilous times. We are living in such dangerous times that we don't know what's going to happen the next day. Brother and I were talking last evening. Brother Richard and I were talking last evening. The things that have happened in the last month are diabolical. I think he used that word, diabolical. Well, I said, of course it's diabolical because it comes straight from Satan. He's the author of it. Satan's the author of this terrible event that happened in New York. We are living in dangerous times, and we know that the scriptures have to be fulfilled that if these days are not cut short, no flesh should be saved. Imagine the prospect of that. Think of that. That's the world we're living in. That's the reality of an everyday life, as how we're supposed to have the responsibility to instill basic truths in our young people, especially. And to appreciate each other, those who have spouses, husbands or wives, to appreciate the relationship, as Paul explains to it, is one of being like Christ and his bride. We are living in perilous times. And this verse 1 starts out by saying, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Have you ever seen a more selfish world as we have today? I can remember as a boy way back when World War II was about beginning at that time, late 30s, early 40s, we didn't have anywhere near the selfishness that we see today. If we were young people today, we'd be faced with that. Well, our young people of our spiritual family here are faced with that. They're living in a very perilous time, and the world is so selfish, and they're caught up in this. We have to protect them. We have to teach them the rules and standards of conduct as given to us in the Word of God. They are covetous and boasters and proud and blasphemers. And then this one passage here, they are disobedient to parents. And we can see the young people in the world today, this is their number one thing, that they don't have to answer to anybody. But they do. And we have a responsibility among our own fellowship of young people that we make sure that they understand and appreciate God's word in their lives and the necessity for having those standards of truth that they need to live a righteous life. The practical applications as we are given in the scriptures tell us that the law of love must prevail. But we're all children of God. This should be instilled in our young people, that we're all children, even as John 15 expresses. We all have that relationship, and we want to instill that in them. We want to instill the respect and love for God, and that we are taught and that we learn from Him, and through prayer and meditation and study of His Word. These are the things that we want to instill in our young people, in our family relationships, one with the other. I see that our time is rapidly coming to a close, so we will turn our attention to Isaiah 54th chapter and verses 13 and 14. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. How beautiful. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. And then in verse 17, and this is in connection with those who stay very close to the Lord. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And in the New Testament, in James, we'd like to consider a passage of Scripture here before closing. James, the third chapter, and verse 17. And this is something that we should keep in mind in connection with the family relationships and the privilege that we have of being a part of this grand picture of the grander family relationship that we are developing, and the responsibility that we have among ourselves, whether it's an earthly family or our spiritual family. The wisdom, this is verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then it is peaceable. But it's first pure, keeping in mind the standards of conduct and of righteousness. It is first pure, and then it is peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated. And then it is full of mercy and good fruits, and without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. And we appreciate very much also the scripture in Proverbs 22:6. We won't read that, and I think this is one that all of us should keep in mind as we are involved in this family relationship. And that is Proverbs 22:6 tells us to train up a child in the way that he should go. And this is strong admonition. This is a powerful admonition to all of us to instill these basic truths within our family arrangement. And then as one last scripture, we will close with Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 9 through 11. This will be our closing passage. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, I'm reading from the King James Bible. But you know the word spirit is light. The fruit of light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. May we, as we dismiss, leave that scripture with you, that we be children of the light, that we develop the Spirit of the Lord in light, that we grow in grace and in knowledge as we walk in newness of life, that we might be faithful unto death and have that unspeakable joy and privilege of sharing with our Lord in the uplifting of all the families of the earth, the church's family, the world of mankind, in the kingdom.